And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Impact on Point of View is our next, and those are people who are really, really doing amazing things. So sometimes little underground, sometimes people that you may never have heard of before, but let me tell you, these are people who are just doing the most in a country where every single day we have bad news, every single day we read of nothing but just, you know, stories that traumatize us. I just thought it's important for us to highlight people who are doing amazing things. This next guest today is one such person. She's a co-founder of the National Cycling Academy Forum. Her name is Buhle Madlala. You probably will recognize her face, but you have no idea what kind of impact she's had on young people in the townships. And what they do, you sometimes see the videos where it would be like dirt road, literally absolutely dirt road, and they are like throngs of young people on bicycles and all of that. Just a beautiful sight. But she's on the line with us just to talk to us about her journey. Buhle, thanks for making time for us today, and thank you for being part of Point of View's Impact.
Thank you so much, Pimelo, for inviting me. And that is such a lovely, lovely introduction in a space we find ourselves in yeah. SA. It's yeah. always doom and gloom. And it's nice to be amongst those little shining yeah. stars that are making a change. Thank you.
For an individual like yourself, I think the bigger question is, when does it, of course, you're a fitness fanatic and all of that, the bike was your friend and all of that. When does it stop being yeah. about you and you start thinking, no, there are other people that I can impact. There are other people who my talent can benefit.
Yeah, so I guess a big part of what I do is actually that the focus had to shift away from me, and I had to look at just what is the gap and what is the impact that the space and the privileges that have been opened up for me can have on our fellow young Black cyclists in this case, and just athletic and fit people in spaces where you don't normally get the resources, you know. So I guess just having the opportunity to be in sport marketing, for me, I was always an island. There wasn't very many people like me in spaces that I found myself in. For example, I was very fortunate to work for the highest office of the biggest soccer organization of the world, which was FIFA, when we hosted the 2010 FIFA World Cup in the country. So for me, that opened quite a lot of doors into the space that I find myself in now, in the cycling development space. So I guess it's kind of who you are deeply that will push you to try and find reason for imparting knowledge and trying to get as many people into where you are in the spaces that you are.
It started as a really, you know, a small little outfit. I'm not sure when you started, whether you had in mind what you wanted it to be. Where was your head at? And just talk to us about those really, really humble beginnings.
So I think it was 2016. A few Black cyclists and a few Black owners of cycling academies in township and rural areas, we found ourselves in a meeting in Durban for cycling at Cycling Indaba with Cycling SA. And, you know, in that Cycling Indaba, a whole lot of technical talk, a whole lot of infrastructure that we didn't have, bicycle distributors, bicycle shop owners, technical coaches, technical officials, timekeepers, every ecosystem that you would think of in cycling was at that meeting. And for us, you know, as black cyclists in the ecosystem, we were just wondering, okay, all of this nice infrastructure, all of this nice resources, what is available for people in township and rural areas? And that is ultimately how we started the National Cycling Academies Forum. So my other co-founders, uBruce Malele and uBonga Ngobani, we posed a few challenges to Cycling SA to say, it's all well and good that you guys are where you are now. We are polar opposites. You know, if you think about a black cyclist in a township and a white cyclist in the suburbs, the stuff that they experience in the suburbs and the stuff that we experience in the rural areas are poles apart, you know. And we asked them, we posed the question, what is your plan and what do you plan to do in the space where you've totally forgotten that there could be a young rider there that is not a soccer fanatic that wants to ride their bicycle? What are the plans? And that's literally how NCAF started. So from that meeting, our mandate was to introduce schools and the underprivileged to the sport of cycling. We know that, you know, for us in the townships, you have a soccer field and you have a ball and that's it. You know, you can find a couple of your friends and you can go play. But when it comes to now the sports like cycling, where in school do you find yourself? Where's the fit? You know, there's not going to be a teacher that is going to try and gather some kids to teach how to cycle, you know. So that was one. We really wanted to drive transformation. We really wanted to drive inclusion and development of cycling in these spaces, you know. And I think slowly but surely, because we had the vision and because we really wanted to see the talent kind of develop and the talent being identified, you know, we started thinking around what could be the strategy, what is it that we can do that we find ourselves in this space, you know. And that's when I find myself, because I was in a business, I was a partner at the Brand Factory. The Brand Factory was a sports marketing company where we dealt with a lot of commercial sponsorships. We were doing a lot of stadium advertising, hospitality, and all of that. So for me, I was already in a privileged space where I could speak with my partners to kind of say, let's shine a spotlight, you know, on areas that are rich in talent when it comes to cycling. And let's see what we can do with regards to giving kids in those places and those spaces opportunities, and how can we facilitate and cultivate the existing potential of those cyclists. I was very fortunate that I had partners that also wanted to give back and have impact in those spaces. So they allow me the time to kind of use the resources at the office and kind of strategize and come up with a program, which is what I then did, you know. I think a couple of years with you, we did an interview when we literally just started and we had launched the In Community Grassroots series. For me, because as Brand Factory, we owned the Merrow's Arch Criterium race. So Criterium, for those that are not, because I mean, cycling is not very well exposed in our spaces. So Criterium races is cycling where you start from one point and you go around in a lap.
Yep.
It's not like a moving bubble.
Yes.
So I think if we think of other cycling races, you start from a point and you finish at a different point. Mm. For this one, you start at one point and you end at that point. So it's different laps.
For me,
that was quite an interactive approach to empowering underprivileged high-performance cycling communities, because in that space, you'll be able to identify talent. You'll be able to take cycling to the people. You know, it's nice. It's spectator friendly. For cyclists, there's a lot of cornering. It's a lap, so it's very fast. So there's a lot of tactical training for an aspiring cyclist. And that is ultimately what I took from the Criterium Racing Series we started at Brand Factory. Mm-hmm. I decided, let me try and put the very same concept in the spaces in township and rural areas where you don't really need resources. Like you say, in a dirt road, you can find a bike and you can do laps, you can race with your friends, and you can learn quite a lot of skills about cycling. It has grown yeah. immensely.
You know, we speak of what we see, the young people cycling and you introducing them to the sport of cycling, but it's quite a 360 a view of what you need to do. You spoke of the fact that it's not a ball, you know, you need the actual bike
yeah.
to get onto the sport.
Yes.
But you are also
yes.
quite involved in not only just supplying the bikes and assisting those young people to get bikes, but a community to even help service the bikes themselves, a sort of an ecosystem yeah. of sorts that will support the yeah. sport and support those who are interested.
Yes, yes. So you're quite right. Bicycles are not cheap at all. for people that are coming into the sport now and finding out that you can actually really buy a bicycle that is the same cost as a Polo. You know, people think that is absolute madness that someone can spend so much in a bicycle, but that is the nature of the sport. So what I also did was to try and have initiatives like donation campaigns, where we would go out to corporates and ask for a bit of their CSI, so that we can support academies in township and rural spaces. So we have grown in numbers with the number of cycling academies that have affiliated to NCAF. We have a national footprint. We are present in all 9 provinces. And just this past weekend, it was such a huge validation on the advocacy work that I have been doing and the work that the cycling academies have been doing in their spaces when I got elected, actually, by Cycling South Africa.
Yes.
To chair the commission for transformation and capacity building. You know, for me, I think a lot of people that are in the advocacy space know how difficult it is. It's a thankless job, 'cause you're fighting for a cause, and there isn't any money usually to champion what you want to do. So for me, it was a huge validation that I got elected. And I think for NCAF as a whole, it's exactly what we've been wanting. You know, we've been trying to lobby the Cycling Federation to say your strategy is very haphazard. There really seems to be no policy around grassroots and transformation and diversity and inclusion. What are the plans? And I mean, if we think that we are 30 years into our democracy and we are yet to have a league
sure.
in cycling, you know, I think it's an indictment. We are yet to have a big racing event
yeah.
in any township in this country, in any Black community in this country, we do not have any form of formal cycling that takes place, you know.
Sure.
We've seen the interest grow with the youngsters who don't only want to take your stereotypical soccer, netball, you know, they want to do and aspire to be professionals in sports that were previously not available, you know. So you've got cyclists, you've got guys that want to cycle and take cycling to be a career. You spoke about mechanics that we have linked up. I think people in Soweto would know Mpumi and Dinyigo with Ipukiponi. So they literally now own a cycling shop, you know, where in a township you can literally go and buy bicycles. You can you can go and buy spares and parts. You can go service a bike, which is something that was unheard of before, you know. It has grown in Khayelitsha, in the Western Cape. There's also a guy there who's also opened up a bicycle shop. In Mamelodi, there's Upesi who's also opened up a bicycle shop. So it is growing. And I think the more we advocate, the more we create awareness, the more we shine a spotlight to say there are people that are in the space. It is bearing fruit. And I think for the Federation to ultimately select people like us to come and chair and influence, and sit at the table, it's quite incredible. And I'm really grateful that now with the work that I have been doing as Ubuhle and driving a program, UNCAF, there's recognition, and now we can sit at the table and kind of share views and share ideas so that we literally do grow the sport. I mean, Pamela, the fact that there are no technical officials, like we can't have a cycling race in any township because, one, we don't have a referee that is technically trained, that is accredited. We don't have timekeepers, you know. We don't have team managers that can literally take the team from entry level through to being an elite rider, because it just doesn't happen. It's wrong that we are here, and it's 30 years in the democracy of our country.
I want to take a quick break. I'll be back with you, Butle, and I'm going to open the lines as well for those who are interested, who want to get in touch with you and the wonderful work that you're doing. 086-000-959. Send a voice note as well if you have any questions on 063-688-0959. Impact on Point of View. We're speaking to people who really, really are doing amazing things on the ground. You may not have heard of them. You may not know of their initiatives, but very, very slowly and surely they're making an impact. So my guest today is Butle Madlala, who is a co-founder of the National Cycling Academy Forum, and we've just been hearing about some of the wonderful work that they're doing. And essentially to concentrate on you know, communities that are in townships, rural areas and so on, and develop the sport there. So Butle, you were just talking to me about how important it is to start thinking about transformation, start thinking about inclusion. At the moment, what are the things that need to be done ASAP to start moving that needle? As you say, 30 years in, and we are so far away from developing even a league.
Yeah, I think what is most important is to have capacity building, which must focus on training technical officials. Without technical officials, the sport is not going to develop. The sport is not going to grow. One, at grassroots level, if you cannot have races that will unearth new talent that you will take from grassroots to amateur level to elite level, then really there is no growth in the sport. So first and foremost, developing the sport by training coaches, by having technical officials, by having mechanics that will be accredited, by also having infrastructure and cycling industries in our spaces. For me, that is most important. We can then go into starting to look at how do we then progress like the riding that is happening in townships, because we are not just sitting there, we are riding. The fact that there isn't any support to take the sport to the next level mustn't discount the fact that there is a huge interest in cycling in our spaces. I mean, it's our heritage if you think about it. At some point in our lives, I'm sure you've also at some point in your life, if it wasn't a tricycle, you had a BMX, right?
Yes.
And for some reason, after a BMX, then everything just falls apart and you wonder what happens.
Yes.
You know, so ultimately, we want to grow the events in the township. That's number two. We need to grow our events in the township so that it's not just community-based cycling events. It needs to be competitions, you know. If it is not competitions, then you literally cannot have data or a pool of up-and-coming riders that you can literally profile and say, in KwaZulu-Natal, we've got a guy that participated in a race in Nkandla. They did a time of 5 hours for a 90-kilometer cycle race. If we don't have those stats and that data, then we are not going to identify the talent that we need. Mm. I mean, I was quite encouraged with the new minister, Mr. Gayton McKenzie, when he spoke about LA, the next Olympics, and wanting to have depth in Team SA and take about, I think he said 300 athletes to the next Olympics.
Yes.
And for me, this is where it starts. All these community initiatives, community-based initiatives, need that support and they need that vision from a leadership and an executive in government who wants to champion it, you know. And what we have been doing with NCAF, you know, having all these community racing, I think it is just a step closer to realizing the dreams of the many, many up-and-coming talented riders that we have found, that we have unearthed. And the lack of resources, you know, just literally hinders the progress that we have started. The next thing that's very important, I mean, for a federation like Cycling South Africa, it's volunteer based, and the mere fact that it is volunteer based, which means that it is run, offices or provincial associates are literally run by volunteers. There are very few paid officials, so the sport is literally not going to grow, which is why one of the reasons we want to have cycling become part of the, I think it's now 21 sporting codes that are in the minister's barometer. You know, what that means is, you know, even in parliament, members of parliament can question the lack of transformation targets that we have that are clearing in cycling, you know. The fact that it is not in the minister's barometer, this is why it has gone under the radar for this many years, where no one really questions that we don't have any black cyclists in the country. You know, we always send lily white teams even to African championships, Pimelo. You know, we have African championships and our African countries in Rwanda, Eritrea this year, in the Tour de France, we had a gentleman from Eritrea that won two stages. And it's the first time in the history of the Tour de France that you have someone of African descent winning two stages, you know, or just participating at that level.
Sure.
So,
I mean, there's a lot to be achieved. You know, for people who are interested and who want to introduce their child, perhaps, to the sport, how do they get hold of you? Because I can tell you, for those who are listening, you don't have to come to them with a bike. They will kind of, you know, hold your hand through the whole process. Just tell us, Buhle, where people can get hold of you.
Okay, so we are available on all social media platforms as NCAF, NCAF underscore SA. And you can send us a message, your location, where you are. Like I said earlier, we have a national footprint of a network of cycling academies in the nine provinces. So we can literally link you up with cycling clubs and cycling academies that are closest to you. We do have on weekends in different provinces, for example, later on this month in Garankuwa, we've got a drive with Victor, who runs Chikasa Garankuwa, cycling against substance abuse. Mm. They do donation drives where they collect shoes to send through to those that are less privileged. So we've got a national footprint and we are able to link you up with clubs and academies that are closest to you. And you can also find us on our website. Our website is www.ncaf.org.za and we can be able to assist you.
Fantastic. With the onwards and upwards, thank you so much and congratulations on your appointment as well.
Thank you so much, Pumela, for your opportunity.
Thank you. She's a co-founder of National Cycling Academy Forum, NCAF. That's how they abbreviate it, underscore SA. Try find them on social media platforms. Her name is Buhle Madlala. That brings us to the end of the show. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.